let's look at this scripture. The passage talks about light coming to darkness. And I think we all understand this image of what light is all about. Most often, I would say, God's glory is described in scripture as light, and more specifically, as the sun. The sun that radiates from one central spot and where the rays reach the corners of the earth. And that is the picture of God's glory. And I think we all understand this image. In fact, we understand it so well, I wonder, what am I going to talk about here, you know? I think the better thing would have been for us to meet 10 minutes before sunrise and gather and just experience this glorious thing of the sun just, you know, coming up. And in fact, if you have maybe done that, waited around for the sun to rise and experience that, you know what a glorious sight that is. Our family got to do this a few years ago in Acadia National Park. Supposedly the mountain, their Cadillac Mountain, is the furthest point east on the continental U.S., and we were the first ones to witness this sunrise on the land. Well, so there's my homework for you, or the practical application of this is pick a time and do this before the year ends. You know, wake up 10 minutes before sunrise and experience this glorious thing. And with that, praise God, worship Him, and be filled with hope. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for how glorious You are. And when we catch a glimpse of who You are, and we are filled with joy and hope, and we are inspired to face any challenges. We are encouraged and we are built up so that we can always have this hope that is just steadfast and faithful. Lord, we thank You for that, and we thank You for these words that point us again to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah whom we have gotten to know. And we thank You for that. In His name we pray. Amen. So we understand light, and we also understand darkness, don't we? Okay. The significance, the symbolic meaning of all of this, we read these verses and it says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples." You know, it is 2020, right? And many people have commented on what a dreadful year this has been. The loss of lives, the confusion of politics and policies, the media, what I would call there are just so many lies circulating, and what I guess the word is disinformation or whatever it might be. We see videos of violent acts of racism, and then the reactions to that of more violence. The country being divided on important issues, you know. Then you hear that there's domestic violence that is on the rise, right? I talked to a therapist recently, and she told me that everybody is depressed, you know. Depression is just, the whole country is depressed as we are dealing with the pandemic and countless other things. So we understand the darkness that is covering our land, so to speak. My wife had warned me not to watch the first presidential debate, you know, and I turned the TV on in the middle of it, and 3 minutes later, you know, I was affirming her, "I told you so," kind of. You know, that was a moment of real darkness for me. is to watch 3 minutes of that first presidential debate. You know, darkness is about calling right wrong and wrong right, about solutions, apparent solutions, bringing more problems and exposing just the extent of issues, okay? So if I may, I'd like to share some of my conspiracy theories, if I may. So one experience we've had in our neighborhood is that we had an influx of many cars, popping up, you know, people who previously could not afford a car simply now had cars. There is no parking in our neighborhood, so we had an influx of cars. And my elder friend and partner in ministry, his name is Mario. Mario explained to me what is happening. He said everybody has money now; they have more money than they did before. And the reason they have money is because of COVID and the relief that comes with COVID. And everybody is applying for unemployment benefits. They're scamming the system. They are getting checks that they otherwise would not have received. They're falsifying, you know, information, you know, saying they are self-employed, you know, when they never had a job to begin with. So all these, this crazy stuff is going on, and the government is handing out checks, and our neighbors are having, you know, have more funds than they did before, and they're spending it on buying cars. You know. So I thought to myself, wow, that is you know, that is morally wrong, and that is upsetting. And then here comes my conspiracy theory, and I said, wait, the same thing is happening on the government and big business level, I said. The reason why the response to this pandemic was so weak was, hey, there are just too many benefits to having a national pandemic for certain, you know, people, you know. So that is my conspiracy theory that many people benefited. And when I saw some of the news where some of these small business loans were given out to huge corporations, some of them paid them back, I said, wow, what is this mess? This is a moral, ethical mess here. And, you know, I just felt this is not right. This is darkness that is over the land, exasperated by this pandemic. The pandemic that supposedly sheds light on some of these things, that these pre-existing conditions, injustices, and so forth. I said, wow, darkness seems to be spreading, right? What we know is that that for us, believers, this doesn't really faze us too much. We know from the beginning that these are all symptoms of a fallen world, of sin being in this world, and we, in eager expectation, always wait for Jesus Christ, wait for God to bring hope, to bring remedies, and that is what is our hope. Let's see. God's light is not just a medical or economic fix, right? It is a moral, ethical light that reflects His holy character. Amen? This light is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of this world. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hey, we all know that Jesus Christ is the light. He is the long-awaited, expected Messiah who came to drive out demons, heal and feed people, and preach the good news of a new government and a new rule. His rule brings hope, not just to cure diseases and mental illnesses and so forth, not just to cure poverty and injustices, but the sin that is so at the root of everything, that is in our lives and is so inextricably part of our world. Let me ask you, why are we doing this? We lighted the candle for the first Advent, right? It is a wonderful tradition, a symbolic thing. Why are we doing this tradition? You know, why do we do this? And I said, well, you know, the church is all about tradition, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And the reason for tradition is because the answer is always the same to whatever problem is present. The answer is one and the same. It is Jesus Christ, whose light we are looking forward to always. We are nearing the end of 2020, and we are faced with the same question. And that question is, what will tomorrow bring? I don't know about you, but I am quite hopeful. You know, we were exposed to some dark realities, let us say, in 2020. And now we can look forward and we can run to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the answer, who has all the answers. Let me wrap things up, but I'd like to tell you a little bit about our neighborhood. And then I'd like to challenge us, as much as we love tradition, I'm going to say, let us break with tradition a little bit, but I'll explain what I mean. But about 5-6 years ago, something happened as we were still doing our after-school program, and a very pretty young lady walked into the church and said that they would like to learn a little bit more about our neighborhood. And behind him walked in an older gentleman, and I felt like, wow, this is almost like a setup, but they were attorneys, and she was the paralegal. And immediately I said, hey, let me take you to my neighbor, Miss Ann, who's been in this neighborhood for many, many years and knows all about the neighborhood much better. So I took them over there, and I did not realize that they were the defense attorneys for a young man who was in prison who had shot and killed Miss Ann's nephew, who had been sitting in his car in front of the church. This was right before back in 2007, before we got to this corner. And so as the conversation progressed, it dawned on me what is happening. They were trying to get information just about the culture of the day. What you might not know is back in the 80s, that corner was sort of like the hub for the crack epidemic, cocaine trafficking. I've been told stories of violence, people losing lives, being shot, mothers coming around saying, hey, my son died here, just countless of stories. And the fact that it was a drive-through for drugs where the police looked one way and the cars were lined up with people coming from out of state, Delaware, Jersey, to buy drugs on this corner. And this was the mid-80s, and then everything was shut down by the feds, who actually came in. So as Ms. Ann was describing how these young people all, you know, she was like the neighborhood mom, and everybody knew each other. And they played with each other and they grew up together. And then the drugs came in, and friends who were they ended up being in rival gangs, actually, and things like that. And so the attorney was trying to kind of, I guess, paint this picture of the circumstances and the kind of environment that this young man grew up in. And I just remember when her youngest son, Stan, who, by the way, also a few years ago was shot, but he survived and just lost a lung. But he was he's a brilliant, smart man. And I say this because he's like the chess champ of the neighborhood. And immediately he saw where the lawyer was going, and he said, he interrupted him. He said, but he knew what he was doing, you know. He knew, he made a choice to shoot that person, you know. He did not have to do that. And he called him out and said, look, this young man knew what he was doing when he killed his cousin, right? Just that whole scenario just made me think about just the dark history of that corner. And the fact that our church has not done much to change the neighborhood at all. You know, there are still drugs around. There are still the same immorality is there, and so forth. And often I wondered, what are we about? You know, our little church, which, you know, just early on, I was asked how many people are we have, but barely 12, 15 people meeting, right? And I'm wondering, what are we about? And then I say, well, I had told the church, we are about being a little pilot light, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with the old furnaces, the gas light. It has a little pilot light that's always on. And how does that work? Well, you know, you turn up the thermostat, right? And then, you know, whoosh. You know, you get a nice glow and fire that produces heat for the whole house, right? And, you know, you understand that idea of the pilot light. And so today, I want to challenge us to look at this lining of this little light as that, as a little pilot light that is necessary, that is needed for this world, for God to do his thing through you and me, through the church. The second part of this scripture talks about, it says, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. If you've been in church long enough, you understand that part of our being is about appreciating a good sunrise, right? Of seeing what God is doing and just being awed by it, by the fact that God is so good, he's wonderful, he, in spite of us, et cetera, et cetera. But the other part of that is that we reflect his glory. We carry his light. Matthew 5:16, when it talks about us being salt and light for the world, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Okay? Your good works, and this is not talking about vacuuming the church or being the parking lot attendant, even though those are wonderful things. It is talking about moral and ethical actions that the world will see and that they will praise God because of it. You see, our light has to reach out. It has to expand, right? It gives warmth and light to this dark and cold world that we live in. And 2021 is for the church to rise up, to stand up, and to be able to do the things that Christ did and preach the good news of a new government, a new rule, a rule that is focused on the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us break with tradition just a little bit, and let us think of this little light as a pilot light. Yes, the church is that, and we are waiting in eager expectation of God to do something with us, something wonderful. You know, I am so convinced that the Lord, you know, will turn up this thermostat, and that the church will be the most wonderful thing that society has ever seen, encountered. Amen? Let us pray.